So we pray, Father, we receive this evening wisdom and insight in your word. Thank you for a clear revelation of your son Jesus as we study the subject of wisdom. Thank you because we'll find wisdom only in him, and that will profit us in our lifestyles as we behold him as it sees us in him. Amen. All right, wisdom in the wisdom of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Quickly, let's just examine that. 2 Peter chapter 1. Then, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith as us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And we said that there was a continual emphasis in 2 Peter 1 on the word epignosis. Epignosis is accurate, precise knowledge. Definite. Epignosis is the same way you say 1 plus 1, 2. You know, definite, not variable. Not a variable. So we said that's the emphasis of his teaching here on spiritual growth. That spiritual growth can only be possible when there's epignosis. You know, precise, accurate knowledge. That said, look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice the word that you might become. Now, to become here is ginomai. Ginomai is used for to exist as. That you might be made. That you might become. Okay? Partakers, that you might be. Might be is just one word. Ginomai is the same word, John 1:14. The word became flesh. Okay? The word began to exist as a man. Okay? So that you might be partakers of the divine nature. Look at the word divine nature. Divine nature here. Interestingly, the writer twists the words, and that makes us think. Because I've used that you might exist as partakers, which is koinonios, to share something of the divine nature. Come to that. Divine nature here, okay, is used just four times. Four times. And Peter has it, that's it four times, three times. Peter has it twice. Here, verse 3, divine power. Verse 4, divine nature. So, he mentions divine power in 3, according as the divine power, partakers of the divine nature. So, 3 and 4 are saying the same thing. Okay? In the original, the word is just partakers of the divine. So when it says divine power, it has given us. That is why it will flow that in 4 it says you are now a sharer of what you were given. You are a sharer. So, divine here, you know, normally when you have deity, you or God, you have Theo, or Theos, that's where you get theology from. T-H-E-O-S, that is God. But he adds T-I, that is T-H-E-I-O-S. So that's a slant, okay? Which, every time this is used, it refers to things that belong to. Things that belong to. Things from. So, according as his divine power, according as the divine power or divine things by ability, right? He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, look at Acts 17:29, where that word was used by Paul when he was preaching in Athens. That popular preaching that I probably am going to touch on Saturday. Acts 17:29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven heart or man's device. The Godhead here is the same word, theos. That's the word with I. Theos. T-H-E-I-O-S. So he's talking about things. Just as we say, concerning spiritual. You know, you have spiritual, but really you're talking about things of the Spirit. So when it says theos here, is the things of God. It's used for that which is of God. So it's not relating to God, but things that are of God. You cannot be a partaker of God. You are not God. You get that point. But the things of God have been given to us to partake of. That is to share. To be sharers of. To be sharers. Because he's talking about things. To be sharers of those things. Things that God gave. Things that belong to God. Koinonios is the word companion. Used for partnership. To come and take part of something. To come and partake. That is to come and take part of. Not that you take out of it. But you have access to all of it. You see it in Luke 5, verse 10, when there was miracle of casting the net, and then there was a great catch of fish by Peter. Then they called their partners. Right? That's the word koinonios, partners. Those that take part in what they are doing. Those that take part in fishing. Okay, they take part in that. In 1 Corinthians 10, 18 and 20. I guess I'll open to that one. 1 Corinthians 10, 18 and 20. Behold, after the flesh, Israel, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar. That is, they participate in the altar. That's 20. And I said that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, the sacrifice of devils, and not to God. But I would not that you should have fellowship with the devil. Take part of the devil. So to take part of. First Peter also used it in 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Koinonios. So when you say partaker of the divine nature, partaker of the things that God has given, partaker of the things that are of God. So, he now begins to highlight those things to you. What are the things that he calls the divine nature? Things that are divine by nature. Things that they are of God by nature. That these things are intrinsically of God. What are the things? From 5 to 7. He mentions diligence. He mentions knowledge. Gnosis. He mentions temperance. He mentions patience. He mentions godliness. Brotherly kindness. He mentions love. That is what he meant by divine nature. It's not ability to disappear and appear. Hallelujah. He's talking about things. That these things are divine. These things have been given to us by God or of God. Does that make sense? Very good. So, he calls them. So, he says to us that in verse 12, you know, we now read, you know, all the other things we can just... In verse 12 now says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now, what are these things? The things we just highlighted. Right? These things. Because... Let's take it again. I've done this study before. It says, all things in verse 3 that pertain to life and godliness, that is all these things. Is that better? All these things. Then he calls all these things, he calls them divine things, divine nature, verse 4. Then, in verse 5, he now begins to highlight them one by one. Then look at verse 8. Let's take verse 8 together. If these things, are you there? Be in you. Verse 9. But he that lacks these things. Are you following this? The same things. For verse 10. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Then verse 12. I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of what? These things. Is that very clear? So the things he's discussing are from verse 5 to verse 7. Because sometimes we can use scriptures to achieve anything. We are made part of divine nature. Right now, I can fly in the sky. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, if you have what he's talking about, you will not fly. So, that's not what he's discussing. Right? So you must restrict your discussions to, I told you the danger of using the word all. All what? Not all. I can do all things. If I slap your face, I can say I can do all things. It must be all these things. Philippians chapter 4, and it was referring to, I know how to abase, I know how to abound. I can do all these things. Is that very clear? That's how to view things in the scriptures. Okay? Because you cannot force God to say what he did not say. No matter how much you are passionate, you can't force the scriptures to change to what it is not. And that's important. So he discusses those things. And the funny thing is that those things he discusses do not look so divine. They are not spectacular things. Diligence, temperance, gnosis. Get it? Brotherly kindness, love. Talk about divine things. You know, like turning a rod into a snake. So verse 12 says, though you know. So obviously, Peter is teaching them what he has taught them. Though you are already aware. And this helps pastoring. The pastor should be able to repeat things again and again. Though you know them. But I'm bringing you to remember, because the job of teaching is to remind you. The little I've been in the ministry in teaching, I know that it takes people a long time for things to dawn very, very well. E.W. Kenyon was one who said he took over a pastorate of a church, and he said on one condition that he's going to say what? Say, I'm going to say what everything you're Sunday school, I'm going to throw it away. And design it all over again. So he began to do, I think they said, a faith clinic every day. He taught and taught the same thing. They start all over again. Till everybody saw it. He started all over again. All over again. All over again. You know, and that's the job. And you know, sometimes the pastor can be under pressure to impress people. And he wants to say new things. He wants to do new things and all that. The job, the doctrine of God's word in the natural is so boring. It's so boring and lethargic because it's the same thing. Somebody accused me years back. I was pastoring a church where I was the associate pastor, but then I was pastoring because the pastor himself wasn't available, so I was pastoring. And so he came back and he said, don't you have another message? Everything is Christ died, he rose from the dead. Can't you preach on anything about Christ died, Christ this, Christ? Said, you have somebody that will come. I mean, what Christ has done. What Christ said, he's bringing somebody. The guy has a prophetic dimension to the things. I said, no problem. I mean, you have a prophetic dimension, come and see the prophetic dimension. Because without a prophet, you cannot profit. Hallelujah. You know, it takes. There's a kind of congregation you can say that. You get it? You know, there are some people, when they invite you to come and preach, don't sleep overnight. You have to study very well. Because you can't come there and say such nonsense. What is it? Sir? Are you joking? It's a parable. I can see a parable in what you're saying. Analogy. Anyway, So it says, if they be in you, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. That word, present truth, alright, the word present, in the present truth, is the word paraimi, P-A-R-E-I-M-I. It means something that has come to you or is near you. So what is he saying? This is a truth that has already come to you. You are not hearing it for the first time. Paraimi. Other people call it present truth. That is a truth. I remember I preached in a conference in UI in 97. I'm not sure whether it was 97. It was a prophetic conference and the theme was present truth. Alright? So, I now had to explain this. I think we met in conference center. Yep. Conference center. And I said the truth here, present truth, is not present truth like absent truth or yesterday's truth, today's truth. Mm-mm. That the word present simply means a truth that has already come. That's why I said you already know them. In other words, it's just like Paul saying, for me to say the same things for you, to you, for me is not grievous, to you it is needful. Alright? 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. So that's what he meant. That the truth that I'm saying to you, you already know them. He's not saying present truth means a new truth. You know, when you are lazy, you just see anything. You won't bother to say, what is he talking about? And you know, do you realize that you don't necessarily have to know the original word to know that's what he's saying? Just read in context and you see it. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So, these are things they've known. So, that means that spiritual growth is a function of repetition. Spiritual growth is a function of repetition. It's a function of repetition. I teach it like this, that the way you grow is the way you grow. If as a younger Christian, you used to go to church in humility, take your notes, and you can't outgrow that. You can't outgrow it. I look at younger ministers and I laugh at them. I've been teaching in Bible school. At least I started in Bible school over 20 years ago. I'm in Bible school, teaching ministers, pastors. And there's no way I will go to a church program and I will not have my notes and my Bible and be writing what I'm listening to. Some of them are things that I have taught several times before. But you see, if you want to grow, you put yourself what? In remembrance of those things. So spiritual growth is a function of repetition. Spiritual growth, the knowledge of God's word is not available for competition. You are growing. So it really doesn't matter. I'm telling the truth, if I go, if I attend a meeting and the children's church people are teaching me, I will take notes. I'm not joking. Doesn't make any difference to me. And I'll go over what I've learned. I learned this several years back, that the way to know something is, the minute you leave the service, as you get home, before you start bugging your mind, go through the things. Many of you don't know how to handle spiritual truth. As you get home, that is how you probably were as a younger Christian. Am I right? You don't outgrow it. You do the same thing. Just take it again, run through it. And today, back in those days, if access to tapes, because they used to just have one, you know, they say that you record, a tape would take normal 90 minutes to record. So imagine having so many tapes. So we used to wait for tapes several days after. Several days. But look at today. Before you know it, it's on www.media.org. It's on this place. It's on the CD and all that. So we have opportunities to practice these truths. When you hear God's word, you take it again. I've said it many times. The word of God is no human information where you just nod your head like a lizard. The word of God is sought. It goes to your heart. Amen. It goes to your heart. Praise God. And then you take note of it. Reverend Chris Oyakhilome used to say this. The truth that you cannot retrieve is useless. If you can't retrieve it, it's useless. You must have access to it again. Hallelujah. Dr. Fred Price said this years back, that the best of students of the word can recollect 50% of what they've heard. Some of you have heard a teaching before, and you wonder, was I in this meeting? And you discover you missed, that you are just hearing some things all over again. It happens to all of us. All of us. I remember there was a meeting I attended, a minister's meeting, but it was a missionary's meeting, and they taught, somebody taught something, and I took notes. When I got back to the hotel room, I listened to them again. So when I came back to Nigeria, and I said, how did I miss this? I'm as vigilant as I was. I still missed out so many things. I know if I take the thing back tomorrow, I was listening to Brother Higgins' Purpose and Apostles yesterday morning, and I said, I've heard that particular teaching. Don't let me exaggerate it so many times. So Brother Higgins mentioned this. He did. And I'm hearing it again. That is why it means you are growing. Hallelujah. So, be in remembrance of those things. Say, you are the truth that is present in you, that you are established. That word is esterizo, that which stabilizes. So, in other words, you need to be stabilized on them. The more they come, the more you hear them again, the more you hear them again, it's to the end that you are what? Established. So, I said growth, I wrote this in my note, I said growth is to share in divine things. Growth is not the length of time you have as a Christian. Growth is not your position in the church. Growth is not how many materials you bought. Growth is you taking part. You know, taking part will mean that you are taking part. Taking part will mean that you are diligent. Taking part will mean that you have experiential knowledge. Taking part will mean that you have self-control. Taking part will mean that... So taking part here, partaker doesn't mean that you have them alone. It means that you are taking... That's acting on the word. It means that you are acting on it. And that's what we said Peter was teaching. Yet, look at this very well. These divine things are only available via epignosis. Alright? Yet, growth is in your experiences. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. Look at it quickly. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which is charis. Alright. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't use epignosis there, remember. He uses what? Gnosko or gnosis. Okay. But he says grow in grace. What grace is he talking about? He's not talking about grace of salvation. Easily just go to verse 3 of chapter 1. According as his divine power as giving. So it means grow in the things that you were what? Given. What are the things that were given? The things were highlighted from verse 5 to verse 7. Grow in them. Grow in what you have been given in the experiential knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we say spiritual growth is not in the possession of things. Spiritual growth is not in what you have or what you don't have. Spiritual growth is not in things. Spiritual growth is fruitfulness in your experience as a Christian. That's what verse 5 to verse 9 is teaching. In your experience as a Christian. Let me say this. Owning things has no bearing on your spiritual status. Owning anything, whether it's a job, whether it's a property, it has no bearing at all. And that is the deceit that people have. One day, I will teach from Genesis, this teaching I've taught it before, from Genesis to Matthew. There is something that we always lose out of. The same way that we read the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, the same way we see things in Christ, is the same way we will not in any way, read benefits of things in the faith of men and women in the Old Testament. You know, it's very easy for us to begin to look at types and shadows, okay? But when we get to material possessions, we take them literally. Are you following my point? We take them literally. It's the same careless way. You discover that when the Old Testament talks about blessings, talks about things. When the Bible talks about blessings, it doesn't talk about things. The blessing of Abraham, for example, in the epistles, is forgiveness of sins. That's basically what it is. It's nothing else. Acts 3:25-26, turning you away from iniquity. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's why a man with all that possession will still consider himself a pilgrim. That word pilgrim and stranger in the earth is in the Greek means somebody who owns nothing. Now all Abraham had was the promise of Christ. If you say, Abraham, what exactly do you have by faith? He will say the promise of Jesus Christ. Not things. Hallelujah. So therefore, spiritual growth is not in things. Spiritual growth is in our conduct, our disposition. So quick review, let's look at the word wisdom again. The word wisdom is Sophia. Alright? Used 51 times in New Testament Greek. And every time we look at it, we'll say, what kind of wisdom? You must ask yourself, what kind of wisdom is this? So, let's look at what Jesus said. Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, verse 19. Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man is gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified by children. Notice that this is what they said about Jesus. Now look at this guy. He's eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified in our children. The word children there is ergon. E-R-G-O-N. It means actions. Ergon. E-R-G-O-N. In your actions. Now in what you do, wisdom is justified in what you do. It's proven in what you do. So we see the proof of wisdom in your action. Now, is Jesus saying that this is wisdom because I'm eating? No. Rather, he's saying what he is doing with the sinners. What he is doing around them is wisdom. Okay, we'll come to that. So we have the wisdom. What? We say in your action. Now, let's see some other places wisdom was mentioned. Well, for example, we have Matthew's Gospel 12:42. We have the wisdom of Solomon. Some people are doing series on it. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But behold, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So there's a wisdom of Solomon, and it says a greater than Solomon is here. Now, you know that the wisdom of Solomon did not reveal the person of Jesus. The wisdom of Solomon was into things, nature. Okay? At the point how he interferes among people, what is this person doing and all that. It wasn't Christ. It wasn't about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That wasn't the wisdom of Solomon. In Luke 2:40-52, we find out this Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. Luke 2:40-52. He grew in wisdom. And waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Wisdom. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. It grew in insight. So that means insight increases. That means, can we say it was wiser? It grew in wisdom, insight. Luke's Gospel 21 verse 15. You'll find supernatural wisdom given to you in situations. Luke 21:15. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom. That's talking about utterance. Which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. We're going to see where that happens. They will not be able to gainsay it, or that they can't contradict it or resist it. So wisdom is also found in how you say something. How you say something. So you can know something and not say it in wisdom. So wisdom is also found in how you say something. The way you say it. One of the things you pray for in ministers, that we may speak as we ought to. Paul said that. Colossians 4 verse 3 and Ephesians 6 and 20. That you must say it the way you should. In fact, look at this. I think I should show you that. Colossians 4. Let's read it together. Verse 4. Verse 3 says, "Without praying for us, also for us, that God will grant unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without redeeming time." Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. So there's the wisdom of speaking. Wisdom in speaking. The way you speak. As a preacher of the gospel, wisdom, supernatural, in the way you communicate something. Again, look at Acts 6:3. It says, "Choose from among you men full of the Holy Ghost," Acts 6:3, "and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. In other words, full of the Holy Ghost can be seen as full of wisdom, full of insight, full of applicable knowledge. We can see it in their lives. So, how do you know these kind of people? Number one, when you say a man is full of the Spirit, how do you know? Via utterances. So, when you say full of wisdom, that means in the way he speaks. I've seen people choose deacons because they say they have wisdom. And it's just earthly wisdom. He said Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Supernatural wisdom. It's the same thing Jesus was saying earlier. When he said, "I will give you what? A mouth and a wisdom that your adversaries will not be able to gainsay or resist." So he's not talking about wisdom from the world, or wisdom gained by experience in the corporate world or anywhere else. He's talking about supernatural wisdom that is via supernatural utterances. Are you there? Alright. Now look at when that came to the fore was in the life of Stephen. Let's take verse 10 together. In fact, let us take verse 8. as Stephen, full of faith and power. Before you read that, he had called him full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In verse 5, full of faith and power, verse 8, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. A deacon. And then arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and them of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now, to dispute, they were arguing. They took him on what he was saying. Now, that means they took him on, alright, on biblical issues. So look at verse 10, let's take it together. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Is that what Jesus said earlier? By which he spoke. So, in other words, one of the reasons why they picked people as, there's good report, why they picked them as deacons was in the way they preached the word. So a deacon is not chosen because he can keep money. That's part of it, because he has to be of good report. But the basic reason why you chose to be a deacon is because he walks in supernatural wisdom. The way he communicates God's word. Now we say, that fellow is qualified to be a deacon. Not that he's just an excited fellow and he says things stupidly. He can say, people can say the right thing in a stupid way. Are you following what I'm saying? The right thing in a stupid way. I remember a guy like that, and you know, just, he was around us then. So he would keep quiet. I was now saying that we are having a great time. We would have Bible studies together, myself, my friends. I used to visit them in UI. And then, one day he just got up and said, just sat down and once said, this is great. I said, what's great? He said, what is seen in the Bible? So what are you seeing? You know, I said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I said, yes. He said, he created the earth by his spirit. I said, yes. And that's why I am a spirit. By me, God created the heavens and the earth. I said, you are mad. That's it. I said, you are mad. You know, that's not even wrestling scriptures to your discussion. That's boxing scriptures to your destruction. So there are things people will say, and they will, you know, I've been to some folks who will say God's word in a way that when you go to where they have gone, you go and do more of damage control. They have said the right thing, but in very stupid ways. So that's where a deacon is chosen. He can communicate these things with wisdom. Hallelujah. I tell people I preach, there are some questions you won't answer. There's some questions you won't answer at all. You just don't answer. When you are younger, you don't mind people arguing with you and you are competing and trying to show up. But as you keep growing older, you know that it's a wild goose chase. So for example, if somebody begins to ask questions, there was a guy that asked me, they said, why did you delete my comment? And I said, number one, it's my war. That's the first thing. I can ask why I did my comment. I said, number two, which is very vital. I said, so that you know that it's not about freedom of expression. You have your own war. Number three, your name was not in view, lest you are coming to defend yourself. Number four. No, that's how I'm saying it. This place is not for argument. I say what I'm convinced in God's word. You can pass by, is ignore it. And so be it. However, number five, in case you intend to have further insights, I am not argumentative, go to www.livingwordmedia.org. He said, I don't like what you are saying. I said, that's not why I'm responding. Don't stress yourself. You get the point. Aha. He said, no. You know, I said, this is what you are saying. You now begin to list scriptures. Do you think you will read it? So that you not read what you posted, will not read what you are commenting about. So that is a wisdom Hallelujah. It is empty. I go to preach somewhere, and somebody will ask a question. Tricky question. Sometimes I can ask some very tricky questions. For example, remember years back, I was ministering in an Orthodox church, and a man just came. We had a meeting, who were filled with the Holy Ghost, so they brought in elderly people and all that. The man said, "Hey, young evangelist, this speaking in tongues thing, now from the way he has asked the question, you have to know how you're going to answer. This speaking in tongues thing. So that is not a question that you should take easily." And there are people there. Now, for example, and this was years ago, I think it was 97 or 6, one of the two years. I now looked at it. And I said, "This speaking in tongues thing, if we don't speak it, we will go to heaven." That's a tricky question. I smiled. Because I had had someone help me see how to ask that kind of question before. And I was, "Sir, if I said yes, he will walk away." I said, "What's the big deal? If I said no, I just lied." So, but either one will not help him. So I said, "Sir, were you around in 1979, 83? He said, "Yes." I said, "When Unity Party of Nigeria gave free education in the Southwest?" "Yeah, yes." "And they were giving free books?" "Free." He said, "Yes." He said, "I won't have a son." He was a very good. He said, "Imagine if your son came home." He said, "Daddy, since it's not compulsory that I have to collect the books before I become a student, I chose not to take the books because it is not compulsory. After all, if I don't collect the books, I'm still a student." "Say, how will you feel?" "Say, ah, I'll be angry." I said, "That's exactly how God." You know, I've answered this question. And he jumped out and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. So, there is wisdom in communicating. There are things people will ask, and you will not. There was someone like, I was talking about faithfulness and service. So I quoted Matthew 25 when Jesus talked about when I was sick, did you feed me? A guy did not look at that. He just went into be cast into hell, where it was reserved for Satan and his angels. He says, "Sir, is that verse that I looked at the verse there? Is that particular verse not against the eternal security of salvation?" I said, "Go and secure salvation first by loving people and giving to people and helping the needy." He said, "Sir, secure it." I said, "Yeah, secure it." He said, "How, sir?" I just quoted 1 Peter 1:10. "Giving diligence to make your calling and election sure." He said, "Ah, amen. What have I done? I basically pointed him to Bible study." That's a lazy person. We are talking about love, service. The only thing you saw there is, "Ah, I can still go here." There is a possibility of me being found in this place. And I let him see it's possible. All things are possible. So there's the way. So the wisdom there is supernatural wisdom by utterance, right? So we can know wisdom by how you speak. Right? Some people will be quiet, it's not because they are wise, because they don't know anything. So being quiet is not wisdom. It's what you say that is wisdom. Not, "Oh, that guy is a wise guy. That very quiet guy." It's because he doesn't know anything. Back in those days when we were very accurate. You say that when you say, "I don't have much to say," we say, "Keep quiet and leave." "You don't have much to say, leave. Let those who have something to say come and preach." You should always have what to say. Oh my God, I'm born again now. People still don't like this born again status. Go and see my old man that we crucified with Christ. Acts 7:22. So we can see wisdom is in utterance. Acts 7:22. "And Moses was learned learned, I don't like that term actually, but I'm forced to read it, was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. See again, they're speaking there. So those who say he was a stammerer, she studied very well. He was mighty. Obviously, what he's describing here is education. He was educated. Let's view this a bit. In words and in deed. That is, in his delivery. In words and in deed. The way, I mean, I remember very well 1993 when they had this debate on presidential election, and there's Bashir Tofa and M.K. Abiola. I mean, I will never forget that debate because it impacted my life. The way M.K. Abiola took on the guy, he had facts for facts. And there's the point, the guy, they said, Alhaji Tofa, how much is petrol? The guy said, I think, Abiola said, you petrol the year? As you can, you don't even know how much is petrol. I mean, I can never forget that. You know, I've acted in the matter. So the man said, ah, you apologize. Said, apologize. Okay, I'm ready. Oh my God. You know, so in this kind of education, when you have facts, the way you be talking, do you understand? That's what he's saying here. He was learned. Alright? He was instructed. That's the word. The word there is padiheuo. P-A-I-D-E-U-O. Many of you know that word. It's a word used to train up children. That is, from when he was young, he was brought up this way. He was a wiz in school. That's what he's saying. A wiz. In the wisdom of Egypt. Was trained. You see that word in 2 Timothy 3:16. Instruction into righteousness, padiho. You see the Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And remember that Hebrews 12:5. The father and the children relationship, 5, 7, 8, 9, I think verse 10, you see it used there to train up a child. So he was in all. That means he had mastery. I know in those days, Egypt was the bastion of civilization. So, you can say, Moses was an intellectual of his era. An intellectual. But in his intellectualism or intelligence, he was not spiritual. He was an intellectual. In words and in deed. And you will see displayed in how he acted. Look at that, Acts 7. In how he acted. What did he do? You'll find that in the way he thought, he was a manipulator. He was a manipulator. He was smart. He tried to kill, nobody will know. That's the wisdom he had. He knew how to kill. He knew how to manipulate. He already knew he was not an Egyptian. So he was pretending. He knew it. So he was very smart, well skilled. He knew how to. He knew his way around things, in words and in deed. But Hebrews 11 tells us what now happened. Are you there? Hebrews 11 now tells us, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25. So, imagine that in 25, verses, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26. Assuming, Hebrews 11, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in, can you imagine, what does he call riches? The reproaches of Christ. Shame, persecution, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let's look at the two words. He says, the pleasures of sin for a season. That word pleasures is the word apolausis, benefits. A-P-O-L-A-U-S-I-S. Benefits. Benefits of sin for a season. What are the benefits? Position. Are we right? Status. Are we right? Service. Are we right? Influence. Position, status, service, influence. It says for a season. That was season is the word pros kairos, P-R-O-S-K-A-I-R-O-S. P-R-O-S-K-A-I-R-O-S. A season, that which is temporary. Temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:18. The things which we see are temporary. That's what pros kairos. Also in the parable of the sower, you will see it in Matthew 13:21 and Mark 4:17. For a season rejoiced. Okay, fleeting season. So he's saying that whatever benefits of this wisdom is for how long? For it. What this is very vital in what we are studying. Position, status, service, influence. You know that is really what the wisdom of this world gives us. That's what it gives us. And no matter how you look at it, it is temporary. The foolishness on most of us is that somehow we treat temporary things like eternal things. And eternal things like temporary things. Ordinarily looking at life, just looking at life, you don't have to be born again. Just like Solomon did in Ecclesiastes. Just looked at it. Just observing. Just observing things. I say this often as I was talking to a friend of mine who is in government. And I said, somehow, there is this demon of forgetfulness that comes upon all of you. You would have known before you came into power that these things are temporary for years. It's even stipulated. Letter of the law for years. You would have known it. But you still get there and be talking anyhow. There is a demon that when you enter like this, the thing just possesses you. Emoji. There's not something wrong. So that the influence is temporary. It's just temporary. Ordinary. Very ordinary. It's so funny that even people who are prefects in secondary school don't know that it's just 1 year. Then they give you a badge. You've not done your waheko. They promote you as manager and begin to change the way you talk. Maybe they promoted you. That means they can unpromote you. It's just simple things. But we treat temporary things as eternal things. Look at what Moses did. Moses chose not to hold on to that temporariness. So I said, wisdom in the Word of God views these things in its temporariness. So when a believer assumes the position of a governor, which is not a sin, okay, all right, but he assumes the position of a governor, and assumes the position of the MD of a bank or of an oil company, the wisdom of God in him makes him treat it like a temporary thing. That is the wisdom of God there. He doesn't start to greet the security men differently. Yes, yes. Do you know who you are talking to? Do you know who is me? Unnecessary. I was told by a friend in one of the government institutions, that there was this guy that he never used to greet anybody. Just coming, once he's president, bam, 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 bam. He just walking. So, and you know the romantic passes. But it now happened that they removed him. No, they removed him. They're not that they put him somewhere else. They removed him. Not this kind of thing. They just say, we wish you well in all your future endeavor. Future starts now. So he said he now came back the next day. No, he's coming like a visitor. So he has to fill forms. That he had now changed. He had now changed and all that. He was now greeting everybody. Good morning. How about you? He never knew you could smile. The guy here said they told him you can't see him today. That he purposely did it. The guy said, no, don't let us do that for him. Let us show you. Go and bring 1 million. He brought it. He said, come back tomorrow. He came back. They didn't see him. He didn't see them. Sorry, he looked for him. He didn't see them. He said, you had more money. Until they added a lot of money. The money has not been given them. So the reality is that people should just know. You should just know. Things are, life itself, natural life is temporary. Itself. It's temporary. So you should handle natural things not in eternal views. Not with eternal views for it. The wisdom of God, therefore, is in eternal verities. He says, more than the treasures in Egypt. The word treasures is where you have thesaurus. T-E-S-A-U-R-O-S. So thesaurus can be a volume of knowledge and all that. Thesaurus is used for knowledge, for things, and for influence. Thesaurus. Colossians 2:3 used it for wisdom. 2 Corinthians 4:7. The treasure. We have this treasure in every vessel, the power of God. Are you there? So look at what we call treasure in the epistles, the wisdom of God, the power of God. Treasures. He says he esteemed. I like that word, to esteem. Okay, treasures also, did you just talk about treasures in heaven? Luke 12:34. Lay up treasures in heaven. The word to esteem is used for leaders. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. E-G-O-M-A-I. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Used 28 times. It's used for leaders. Something you regard. Something you respect. A leader. Something you bow to. Something you revere. So he esteemed the riches of Christ. More. You'll find people respect an unbeliever wealthy man more than a believer that does not have money. Some people are wallowing in sin. Hallelujah. I told you the story of how somebody came for our meetings. And it, the guy is so and so. I said, he won't sit anywhere. I said, what? So? He said, some of them, you can support your ministry. I said, are we falling down? No. The only reason why you will sit among these people is if you are a pastor or a leader. You are not. You are a leader in the corporate world. When we go to your own conference, sit where they put you. Here, it is spiritual things, not natural things. Somebody I know who was a judge came to our service. And he came. And he walked away. Just walked. And he just went. He saw that I was greeting him. I get other people, hi, hello. How now? How's everything? Maybe he felt bad. Maybe he felt good. He has not told me. But he can't tell me. Because he's a Christian. He can't say, you didn't treat me like a judge. Is this your court? You get it? I won't esteem you higher. No matter, because I begin to demonstrate carnality if I begin to relate to it according to your car. Or the where you live. The guy says, the guy was telling me, he said, I don't have problem with money. But I said, you have it with your spiritual life. He said, you are going on a retreat, sir. He said, thank you very much. Now told me when he said, you were the only person who told me the truth. I said, I will. Go and study the word. Go and pray. You have problem with money. That's why you have problem with your spiritual life. You are filled with money, not with the spirit. Hallelujah. So he esteemed. So, can you see that what we said last week, that you will force someone, let him that says he is wise, let him force him as what? Foolish, that he will now become wise. You will first of all say, ah, it is what I think I am. I respect people who are highly rated in the society and they serve in the house of God. They have my utmost respect. Don't think you are humble until you have a position. You know, sometimes you think you are humble because you are already humbled in life. Life has already humbled you. You get it? So you can't say you are humble. But when you, you know, some people, they can be in every department. They will join all the prayer group. They will be everywhere. Say, Pastor, I want to serve the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. Say, please, Lord. Please, Lord. It's because your job, you see, you are believing God. You now get an offer letter. That offer letter now says, 3 official cars. Driver. Personal cook. Bodyguard. Angels on assignment. You know, we'll now see how you will enter the service. You know the way you will enter the service, you now change how you talk. Before you say, I worship you, you have to say, I worship you. Wait, okay. Praise God. You should rejoice. Glory to him. Alright. No. Big boy something. You are actually a foolish person. You are a foolish person. Foolish. That which is temporal has become eternal life in your life. I know that kind of people, they now sack them. And they go back to fasting. To esteem. Don't matter who you are. You are not shy. Don't say, I want to change my department. So what? Pastor's protocol. Say why? I don't really have time. Is your status that is disturbing you? You have not outgrown. You know, age is also temporary. You can only be old. <laughs> 80 years old. You know, when a person dies, cannot become 81. It starts all over again. And if somebody who dies 1,000 years after you, you are still going to be the same age. You don't get it? Let me say it in. Somebody that died in 1926 and died in 2016. When they die, in the spirit, they are the same age. So age is temporary. Performing OD. OD. You can only be old, you can't be God. So, don't use it. Don't use it. What are you using it for? Even the Ancient of Days became a man. Hallelujah. So, they are temporary things. So, not that we should not own things. Or being positions is how we treat them that shows whether we are wise or not. Is how we treat them. Have you seen how politicians, how they will be amassing wealth? It's a spirit that you are gathering so much. Where are you going? What are you doing with it? And most of the money you have, you are not even seeing it. It's just numbers. And you are just at rest. Some you have not seen. Lack of wisdom. So, priority is a fruit in God's wisdom. The way we see things. Material things. There's a way you prioritize things. It's as basic as you couldn't iron your clothes and you feel uncomfortable going to church. I don't get. Just uncomfortable. Of course, if you're LMA, you have to be uncomfortable. I say that so that you won't say it, Pastor. That's what you are saying, the wisdom of God. I will show you the wisdom of men. So there's the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. There was one story that somebody gave us about a fellow who became so wealthy. The guy was so wealthy. But when he was a younger fellow, he used to serve in the vestry and the in the parsonage of the particular church, Anglican church. He served there. He grew up. He now became the wealthiest person in that town. He owned orphanages. He had a lot of money. But he discovered that there was something he started when he was a teenager. I've told you that story before. He continued when he was old. He would go take care of the pastor's thing. He did it till he was very old and he couldn't do it again. And he was a wealthy person. He didn't send servants to do it. He kept doing it. Then I said, you are this. And they said that when they are talking about him, they get to the church, it will take to point him out. And that's the person you are talking about. That he was just not seen. And he was so wealthy. Who said that when he did? His house was so small. Who said that one? So a young man asked him, how were you able to live this kind of life? You are serving, cleaning the church at this age with all the money you had. He said, every time, make sure money is in your pockets, not in your heart. Make sure you keep it in your pocket. No, you're not saying that put all your money in your pocket. But not on your heart. That is a high level of spirituality. You know, you can say, that's how I am, Pastor. How much? Thank you. Oh, Paul, thank you, can't enter your heart. Thank you. What is any money? In dollars. M dollars. And you enter church. So let us pray in tongues. Prophesy. You say, Hitler, Kanda. Why are you bothered, says the Lord? I've done it all. That's not the testimony of Jesus. That's Pastor's testimony. Hallelujah. So that's wisdom. You get it? Because we know that these things are temporary. We always know. Amen. Alright. So wisdom helps us to prioritize. Amen. Alright. So there's the wisdom of men and there's also the wisdom of God. I thought we have said that before. So we're going to look at the characteristics of the wisdom of men. Okay? Now, look at Matthew 16:23. Jesus just told Peter in Matthew 16, he said, who did men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, blessed are thou, Simon by Jonah. Matthew 16:17-18. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto you, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, that you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. So he charged them that you tell no man. So he began to tell them from verse 22 how he will go to Jerusalem and he will be killed by all the chief priests and the Pharisees and all that, and then he raised the third day. And the Bible says Peter began to rebuke him immediately. In verse 22. He began to rebuke him. Look at verse 3. And just said, get behind me, what? Satan. Look at it. Why did he say that? For you what? For you an offense. You savor the things of men and not of God. So we will see Satan, that is an adversary to the cause of Christ. There will be, in the wisdom of men, you will see it. Now, you know that in Peter's statement, he showed concern. He looked like concern. You can't die, master. Yeah, what can you say that kind of thing? But he says it was of the devil. It's against the cause of the gospel. It's against the cause of Christ. That's why I say that when you begin to see people water down the gospel so that they can reach people, they are not bothered about Jesus, they are bothered about the people. Because you cannot water down a truth that will save men and you say you love them. Because the truth is this. If you remove the truth from the facts that you are presenting in your message, it can't save. So, in the wisdom of men, that logical way, what if we do it like this? Let's just be careful. Don't let's call people sinners, even though they are. Don't let's... We eventually are savoring the things of men, and we are actually yielding to the devil. It looks logical. It looks hard, but really now, if you want to, it's not marketing, it's preaching the gospel. It's not the same thing as marketing. You know, when you are marketing, you try to say what they want you to say. That when you are marketing, you carry all sorts of people, you'll be playing the music people want to hear at that period. Right? And if a visible market, they say roadshow, attracted. That is not the way we preach the gospel. It's not the same. Even though it looks appealing, it looks like this is the best way. Let's look at it in this light. At the end of the day, what we have done is to please men. That's what we have done. So, look at 1 Corinthians 2, how he calls that wisdom. In verse 8, nor of the princes of this world, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That means that there is a way the wisdom of this world is skewed, that it does not appreciate what Jesus did. It doesn't make sense. So had they known it, that if they had known it, they would not have, that is, their wisdom does not take the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus. It doesn't make sense to them. And that's exactly what Peter did. It's the wisdom of men. So, why is it called the wisdom of men? And we're mentioning Satan. Because Ephesians 2:1 says, you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our present time past, through the presence of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So it's a pattern of thinking that I can see every day on the internet. I can see every day, and it looks appealing because that's how I'm taught in school. But you see, Christ is not glorified in those things. How do I know the wisdom of the world? Christ is not glorified in those things. Like I said to you, the top three greatest donors in the world today, who are the greatest charity givers, are atheists. They call believing in God, they call it a joke. Yet they will outdo you in giving to the poor. But they can never. Why are they not taking that money to give to the preaching of the gospel? The preaching of the gospel and giving to the poor are two parallel lines that they can never meet. Not the same thing. Not the same thing. That's why the apostle said, if I can give my body to be born, yet I don't have the love of God, I'm nothing. Their motivation to give is to serve themselves, is to glorify humanity. They call it humanity. Humanism. You must love humanity. Humanism. They see humanity as that which should be worshipped. And so they begin to give. So when you begin to copy that style, I've heard some people say things like, those people try to talk about tithes so well. I don't know where. Say, even Coca-Cola tithes. I don't understand what that means. To who? I told the pastor, say, okay, well, that ties to which church? Say no church. They just give to the poor. Hey, allow your members to give to the poor. Rubbish and nonsense. You see, this person does one. For what purpose? For what reason? That is why giving to the poor, primarily in the epistles, is giving to the church. So if you go and do roadshow and you are giving people your time road. And you are doing classroom. Who sent you? Are you government? Are you government? Don't allow. How can you have a budget of church and a CSR? Church budget. You are tying road. You can do the road of your church so that your members can have access. But going to Asayodin primary school to go and hide a classroom, you are joking. And there are people in the house of God who cannot eat. That's why I said the poor among you. He was referring to poor saints. That's where we differ. Because when I'm taking care of a poor saint, we are one body with one another. I'm not sure enough. Acts 2 and Acts 4, they were, because they had all things in common. Are you following this? So, Ephesians 4:27, look at it. Give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. In our thoughts. Give no place to the devil. Many of us need to renew our minds. Look at James 3. You need to renew our minds how we reason. James 3. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of what? Wisdom. Meekness. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Look at that word sensual. That word sensual is a word that means something of the senses. Natural. It means psychological. Logical. You'll see it in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 15:44 about the body. Two times. 1 Corinthians 15:46 about the body. Jude 9, worldly. That which is of the senses, worldly. It calls it sensual. It appeals to the senses. And you do those kind of things, and the world will clap for you. That's it. I like that church. Why? They know how to preach the gospel. How? They are buying clothes for all the yellow fever people on Lagos Road. I like that church. A guy said, we are giving back to society. I said, were you taking from them? So you admit that you are extorting money. I like that. Their church, they are donating buses for rapid response. Who sent you? How ridiculous. That's not your job. It looks logical. As I'm saying, some of you are saying, well, is there anything wrong in it? I understand. Is there anything wrong in it? What was I asking? Is there anything wrong in it? Don't answer. There's nothing wrong with it. It's all God's word. I did a post one time and I spoke about giving to the poor and I used all the scriptures available. That thing always pains me. How can I take this long period? Like Dr. Ibrahim would say, he said, they just look for that, those pieces that were just one scripture. They just pick it from somewhere out of the blues. What about this? What kind of a wicked human is? You are very whole lot of what you put out like 80 verses. All of them in court, they just look at one corner. Even after Paul has said amen. He can be so funny. I did this and I said, oh, give it to the poor. The guy said, but are we now saying that this is wrong? This is wrong. What kind of Christianity do we have? And we cannot care for our neighbors. I said, do good to all. Especially. That word especially in the Greek is not comparison. I'm referring to those of the household of God. So, do good to all in the household of God. That's your first. Your going to the world is to preach the gospel. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't love somebody you are giving bread and tea. What kind of love is that? We ought to lay our life for the world. No, for the brethren. Christ gave his life for the world. You give your own for the brethren. 1 John 5, 1 John 3, 16 and 17. I know what I'm saying may not be popular in some places, but it doesn't matter. It's becoming popular already. So it's sensual. Things that we regard as smartness. He says there's confusion and every evil work. We call them smartness and all that and all that. And this is the exact opposite of being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Well, many times when people ask me questions, a lot of people, when they are, I've discovered this, when a lot of people ask questions about life, I discovered they don't know what it means to be led by the Spirit. So they are looking for something that appeals to their senses. Be led by the Spirit of God. Or follow the leading of the Spirit. God gave us His Spirit so that we can know what to do. How are we different from the unbeliever? Because we are led by the Spirit of God. So, let's quickly view those who were called unwise in the Bible. What were they called unwise? Why can a believer be called foolish? Or those at all that are referred to as unwise? A key thing I've said earlier, don't forget, is that a wise believer handles natural things as temporary things. And he handles eternal things or spiritual things as eternal things. He won't skip church because of something else. He won't. Imagine you want to get married and then you close your entire spiritual life. To, for what? Somebody like that? My wife's cousin. We're having camp meeting and we both got married. And he said he was not coming for the camp meeting. I said, why? He said, because of our wedding. It was praying for our own wedding. That's a very sacrificial brother. He loves us. Have you like that? Why can't you go for a workers meeting on your wedding day? Sir, my wedding day? No, it's a judgment day. The next Sunday, why can't you go and preach? Sir, we didn't be. What entered your brain? So on your wedding day, you will not do devotion. Huh? A wedding, a marriage has just started. You are acting like it's going to end that day. Opposite of what I just said earlier. What's wrong with you? Pray. Praise God. Pray. Study God's word. Amen. Some of you are saying, eh? Yay! Oh! Oh! Think about it. What's the issue? Will your husband run away? Or you are holding him or her down so that the day will not pass? No. Amen. If you find someone and say, you want to study? Ah, I'm not doing it again. Thank God for your life. At least he or she reviewed it on the right time. Praise God. So the wisdom of God makes us handle eternal things in a temporary, eternal things, spiritual things in an eternal way and natural things in a temporary way. And that's how money is. Someone say, financial intelligence. No matter how intelligent you are about money, money comes and it goes. No matter how intelligent you are, go just in the natural, go and read the richest men in the world, they lose money. No matter how intelligent you are, and no matter how intelligent you are, you can't spend it when you are dead. If you like, know all the principles. The day you stop breathing, the principle stops breathing. And somebody else will spend your money. Such is like the money in your hand, somebody's money that is left behind. Somebody else lived on this land years ago. Am I right? And it must have changed people away. If I say this again, Now we are here. Does it carry to us? The temporariness of natural things. That's the way it is. The temporariness of natural things. Are you following what I'm saying? I remember when I wanted to get just a simple thing. I had an uncle who was a boss in the passport office. He said, you want to collect your passport? He said, come that day, you'll get it that day. And I just got there. In 2 hours, people were queuing. I just got there. He just said, ah, is there anybody's mistake? And we sat there in the office. We did not do anything. We kept the, took drink, and we just walked back with the passport. When he left, and I went to the passport office, I stayed there for hours. Temporariness of things. That's the way it is. I can say, I remember when my uncle was here. I said, keep remembering. Somebody else is here now. That's how life is. Praise God. But why are believers not thinking like that? You know, there are unbelievers who in their unbelieving, believing nature, they think this way. And believers with all we know about life in God's word, we are still not smart. We still exalt those temporary things the way we do. Wisdom in the wisdom of God treats natural things in a very temporary way. Quickly, Luke 24, 25, 27. Jesus saw those guys say, oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Slow of heart. Brothers in the Greek. How do we see foolish Christians? They are slow. It takes them time to accept God's word. Time. They can embrace medical science quickly. They can embrace this, but when it comes to God's word, they begin to say, you know, they say this like, you know, I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm not a pastor. Is that an excuse to be a foolish Christian? You know, I'm not a man of God. Then what are you? A God of man? So, that's an unwise believer. He does not apply his mind to the word. He does not. He can read a novel. He can finish it. He can take the novel very big and you give him a Christian book. Say, it's too many pages. That's a foolish Christian. You see, quote three verses. For God is loving the world that is so giving his son. He can't even quote Genesis 16 than a moving course. The foolish believer is not applying his mind to believe what is written. He's not engaging his mind. Foolish believer. Second kind of person. 12:20. Luke 12:20. The rich fool. I never knew you can call a rich man a fool until Jesus called him a fool. You know, you think that, that cannot be a fool. There was somebody that has entered one day. The whole place was first of all dark. As the man entered like this, just by coming in, light came on. You know, there was just, he now was using voice automation. Almost see effect. You get it? And you can be overwhelmed. I say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what is this? What is this? But look at it. God said unto him, fool! That's like to Mary. Fool! This night, what did the guy say? He says, a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. That means his turnover was heavy. Profits after tax, very heavy. He was hiring more staff. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my food. So he's going to open branches very soon. He said, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. We have 29 offices in Lagos. Jesus. And the guy is sharing. He's sharing on entrepreneurs in the 21st century. The principle of that, you know, she said, I started with 10 naira.
I now have $10 billion. Say, hey! Jesus.
Let me share all these secrets with you. Say, the first principle is start how you are.
Don't you know that?
You know, like, are you not starting? You have already started how you are. The guy says, you want to bring somebody to come and talk to us next Sunday about business, about how to make it. Say the guy, let me tell you something. He, as we speak now, is on Fortune 500. He is the largest single shareholder of World Bank. The guy has, look, listen, he has 29 companies in one country. This one does this one. This one creates human beings. This one killed them. And he's only 40 years old. He's just about, he has discovered a mine in that takes, that is in the whole of West Africa. That mine will fetch him $4 billion. Yes. The man, I will say to my soul, Saul, thou hast much goods. So the man was living for himself. Laid up for many years. Take, that means he had worked. You know, this is industry. The man did not steal, he's not for one. He's working hard and working tough. He says, for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God. Those are the things. You see, you think God will say, I like you. Can I have some? That's how you think God thinks. He says, God said, this night, there's no way you can buy up money and buy and don't die. No matter how wealthy you are, there's no way you will not die. Should I say it again? No, we don't like any of this church. Is the church you say this like this, though? There is no way, if you like, buy up everywhere, you will die. You die, and that's it. You just say, the dead rich man. They will not use you in the present participle. You can't buy tenses. You have bought English tenses. So we preserve you for. It really is for you. It will always be worse. You see? Fool! This night, your soul shall cry of you. Then whose? Do you ask this question? Whose shall those things be which you have provided? The lie, put your name. Does it change anything? Put your name. So is it that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This cancels a whole lot of I own investment in this, in that one. I have investment, is there, I'm investing. Yes. So, who's it going to be? Say, it's not against industry. Say, how are you using your wealth? Don't wait until you can pull down your bands. Start acting like that. Some folks, when they steal their money, it's like they have stolen their salvation. What's happening? Let's talk about it later. Well, if you permit me, I can't pray today. I thought about Becky. I'll pray in July. I can't. Such men, you know, this foolish man saw temporary things like eternal things. There was no God in his wealth. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul mentions marriage in this light. Amen. Marriage in this light. The kind of battle some people fight to get married. They will fight their parents. They will fight their friends. They will fight their church. They will fight the Holy Ghost. So when they are not married, they will not fight themselves. Because there is nobody to fight again. 1 Corinthians 7. Are you there? Verse 29. I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they which have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, but they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, that they buy, they that buy as though they possess not. 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of the world passes away. We looked at that last week.
That word to abuse is the word chraomai. C-H-R-A-O-M-A. To take advantage of. So we will limit how much of influence we seek in this world. Are you following what we're saying here? You will limit it. Say, don't use all of it. It says the fashion, which is the word schema in the Greek, S-C-H-E-M-A. It is used for habits, vogue, what is in vogue. Say, it passes away. Parago, P-A-R-A-G-O. It is moving. So you must not be a Christian giving to vogue. Do you know that you can buy, you know the way the world is, you can buy a brand new car today. And a brand new car that they are tying the nylon, not from Kutonu, they are tying it for you. And then you see an advert, and you go, eh? Ah, see car. You know it's possible. Because in economics, they say that the minds of man insatiable. And that is the spirit of commerce. That's the spirit behind commerce. That they will keep needing it. They asked a man who was going to hold a telecom and say, why do you think we should invest in your country? He said, my people like to talk, Nigerians. He said, they can be in the same room they call themselves. Which is true. Insatiable. So people will buy 20 phones in a year. iPhone, leg phone, nose phone, G phone, in 1 year. So you must not follow vogues. You must not follow trends. As a believer, you must have a restraint. I won't go beyond this. I like from Reverend Sam Adeyemi said. He said, at each point in time, he has the number of cars he has, and he will use them for 5 years. Say, if you give me anything in the midst of that period, it is to give others. I call that Christian culture. That in the middle of the 5 years, if you give, they say, I think I heard that they gave him a Bentley. I'm not sure. I don't have so much gist. I don't have gist bank. But I heard so. It's a good news. And then he said, no. That is, go and sell it and give to others. That's Christian culture. I said, you know, wisdom. My father owns the world. Are you sure it's not the God of the world you're talking about? You must have a restraint. A culture that says no. Not anymore. I'm done. You do an air start. It's still 3 days. Somebody says, I like this yesterday. Where did you do it? You use 8 hours under the bridge now, Jody. You came back again and said, where is this one? Are you not satisfied? What are you doing? Who is looking at you? Is it more than one husband? Or you have the one for under the water? A believer puts priorities. There's priority for spiritual things. Do you know there's more priority on giving than owning? Wisdom permits we give as a priority more than owning things. Some things are in your house that you don't need are people's luxuries as believers. They are luxuries. I sat my kids down one day and I said, look, what you are asking for, what you are asking for is some people's sustenance. That's what it is. That's what they live on. Praise God. Also, a man that is unwise as a believer is not cautious. He doesn't take precaution. You went on a tour with people in your office. You went to Europe. You know they are not believers. You can't afford to be going everywhere they go. It's just wisdom. I told some guys years back, and they are Muslims. We went on a business trip. I said, my brother, I'm not going. And the bad part about that trip was that it was a French-speaking country. So I never knew there was French-speaking CNN. French-speaking CNN. Put on and say, hey, la palais, la palais, la télé. Hey, nothing to watch. I said, why did I take place as a seriously, my God? And I could not go out with them because I know where they were going to. They told me. I power people, very powerful in Nigeria. I just said that. And that's the time you love your Bible. You'll be forced to study. Ah, you read. You have read this verse before, read it again. Don't say, let me feel among. Oh, the believer is cautious. You have gone for the official assignment. Say, good night. Say, are you going? I'm going. You will come and relax. No, I'll relax inside. Thank you. What about coming? Let some air down. I'll do it inside. Ephesians 5. There's restraint. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the times, because the days are evil. The word circumspect means you are careful. Careful. So say careful. The way you walk on a rope. Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. The redeeming time is to buy back. Why? Because the days are evil. Watch how he says it. The days are evil. That's useful. Now, the word redeeming time, it means to buy something away from a slave owner. So he's saying that the way this world is, it already eats into our time. We are programmed already. From primary school to secondary school to university, everything. You walk from morning till evening. The days are already evil. So, wisdom permits that you redeem the time. The time you now have, don't want to use it to do other things. So, after coming back from work, you will now see that what Telemundo. Telemundo. You were already engaged in worldly things throughout the day. You now come back and you now relax with the worldly thing. You say you haven't found your spiritual life. You just started. Your journey is long. You now sit back and watch movie. Redeeming the time. Because the days, that period you now have, you buy back what you have lost. You buy back the precious moments you ought to have used. You buy back. The man who has the wisdom of God, he's cautious. He's cautious. Do not be drunk with wine. What is excess? That word is debauchery, wasteful. Debauchery. From the Hebrew, Greek word, asotia. A-S-O-T-I-A. To be wasteful. We don't waste time. We don't waste resources. We are cautious people. First thing, we are cautious people. There is no unrestrained liberty in Christ. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Not to serve sin. You correct yourself. I was in faculty of law. Then they do this law dinner. I said, I won't go. So I said, but why? Well, Christians are there. I said, so I should be there. Christians are everywhere. Say, they are there now. Say, this is there. Isn't the pastor of the fellowship? He's there. I said, I won't go. And I asked him a question in my fourth year. I said, when you go there, what do you do? He said, well, we do award. I said, what time do you do the award? So, you start at 7, you do the award at 10. So, what? How many hours is it take about? So, after that, they play music, everybody relaxes. I said, you see what I'm saying? You now stay all night. All night. So, what then, no? We not be relaxing. You say you have a demon. That's why you have a bad dream. You'll be saying, when you spend an all night, what would you say? He's pushing me. He's pushing me. I'm trying to get up. I can't get up. You can't get up. You are cautious. You are cautious. You say, there is something called saying no. Enough. Enough. Can't marry a man or a woman who wants everything. How can you want everything in the world? I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. The guy told me, he said, my wife wants to travel everywhere. Say, take her to the moon. And leave her there. The only reason you are permitted to go everywhere is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not go into all the world and do holiday. I have visited 166 countries. So, you are a tourist. Same as visited 166 countries. Are you competing? Galatians 3:1. Oh, fools! Oh, foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?
We are foolish also when we move away from our simple faith in Christ. The simplicity of our faith in Christ. Now, what, why are you complicating things? That the way you started out in the simplicity begin to get foolish. Foolishness is seen in how we treat faith in Christ. Folks, for example, who move from faith to works are called foolish. They are foolish people. They are not wise. That continuation in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Christ, is the wisdom of God. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. Colossians 2 verse 5 and 6. Wisdom of God, I'll close here, is in our spirit. Is where? It's in our spirit. What we do is that we walk in it. As we study the Word of God, we expose our minds to what is in us in Christ. Quickly, let me run through some very basic things. A daily walk in wisdom. First and foremost, you will meditate in the Word. Because wisdom is a product of how you think. You will meditate a lot. Meditation is how much you surround your mind with God's Word. In your car, do you have CDs you can play? In your office, you are guarding yourself, just meditating around God's Word regularly. Meditation includes also surrounding yourself with friends that will speak God's Word. That's how you can walk in the wisdom of God. You give yourself. So give yourself to these things. Based upon yourself, upon these things, give yourself wholly unto them that your profiting, 1 Timothy 4:15, may appear unto all. You meditate. Meditation is the word melitao in the Greek. It means to ponder over it. Let me ask you, how often do you ponder over God's Word? I was with somebody and I screamed, I got it. So what was that? I said, it's a scripture I've been thinking of for days. It's been on my mind. On my mind. Just thinking through it. Day and night. Meditate on it. Very importantly, we walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Love. Gentleness. Gentleness, meekness, patience, faithfulness, long suffering, joy, temperance, peace. Against such there is no law. For they that have Christ have crucified the flesh, the lust and the affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us therefore walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The walk in the Spirit is the word peripatao. It means to choose. To choose your conduct from the Spirit. I'm meditating and I'm walking. But there is also prayer. Learn to pray for wisdom. Ephesians 1:16, 17, 18. Speak of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be light, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. That you may be filled with all wisdom, spiritual understanding. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Wisdom and spiritual understanding. James 1, 5. Anyone that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives unto all liberally and abundantly. And it shall be given. You can pray. Rather than try to use your smartness, try to use your logical conclusion in the natural, you can pray. Pray for wisdom. Lord, I know you have an insight on this matter. And I pray that my eyes be open to see it and walk in the light of it. Why are you praying for wisdom? Because even though you are smart, it is He that is wise. Let him see himself as unwise, that he may become wise. You are only praying because you are not depending on your natural disposition to things. You are praying. I say this oftentimes to couples when they have challenges. To people, some say, my boss does this. Can you pray for wisdom?
Sometimes when you ask somebody else, you don't know what the person is approaching on issues. You can pray for wisdom. I pray, Lord, I want insight into this matter. And you just pray. In ministry, you pray for, as a pastor, you must pray for wisdom. Because people will demand that you pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. We speak the word as we ought to and walk in wisdom. Colossians 4:5. Among them that are without. The wisdom of God is profitable to us today. It's in our spirit. Can be found in our conduct. Notice this as we close. Wisdom of God is not found in education. It is found in meditation in God's word. I'll say it one more time. Wisdom of God is not found in education. Rather, it is found in meditation in God's word. Hallelujah. It's discernible and it's realizable. You can be a wise believer. Hallelujah. You know, people that we can call foolish are wise in God's word. People that we can call wise in nature are foolish in God's word. So you must know what you call wisdom and what you call foolishness. Have you been blessed? Stand so faithful, give God praise. Bless him. I want us to pray for wisdom. Amen. There are difficult things that you are seeing today. Difficult situations. Difficult circumstances. You have a logical response. You have a natural thing where you want to go about it. But you can pray for wisdom. Let us pray. James 1:5. Many that lack wisdom. Let him ask of God. You can ask of God. He gives unto all men liberally and obey not. And it shall be given him. You will be filled with knowledge in all wisdom. Colossians 1:9. And spiritual understanding. Pray. Maybe it's in your office. Maybe it's in with a lecturer in your school. Maybe it's with your parents or your in-laws. Pray. Insight into God's word. Don't think you are smart. Don't think you are so intelligent. Let him that is wise be as unwise that he may be wise. Pray. Maybe it's over the conversation that you pastor. Pray. Pray. Practical insight. As you meditate upon God's word and you pray.